Before we get rolling, I want to just take a minute. I'm not a politician, but I am a pastor. And there is a country right now that's really going through a lot. So I think we need to pray for Ukraine. Couldn't imagine what they're going through. I don't want to try to imagine. But I do want to lift them up in prayer. So let's just take a moment as a church body and just pray for these dear people and their families. Lord, as we sit here this morning in the comfortable chairs, in the comfortable building with coffee and donuts in our belly, there's a group, there's a country, there are people that are suffering. And Lord, the politics aside from it, those are people that are made in your image. And they are suffering, they are scared, some have lost their lives, some are injured. Lord, we pray the only way that I know how to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that you might give refuge and strength to those that so desperately need refuge and strength. That you might help the aid workers to get into where the needs are. Lord, there's a great opportunity for ministry and for the gospel to go forth. So Lord, through such sad circumstances, may the power of the gospel be able to go out to those that so desperately need to hear it. And Lord, we know that ultimately you are in control of all things. So Lord, help us to trust in you. Even when it looks like there's chaos, Lord, you're still in control. So Lord, just pray as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? For you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Now Lord, as we turn to your word, may you continue to challenge us and may you continue to change us through your word that never changes. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. It's going to be a different type of message this morning. So usually I have the verses on the screen, but this morning I'm not. So you're going to need to find your Bible or download the YouVersion Bible app or jump on to BibleGateway.com because there's no verses on the screen this morning. I'm just going to stand up here with my Bible and I'm going to do something that no Baptist pastor has ever been able to do in the history of Baptist churches. Do you know what that is? I'm gonna cover 38 verses in 25 minutes. I promise to go long, okay? Just tell the crock pot, simmer down to go low and you'll get there eventually, okay? All right, as you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25, I feel the need to confess something to you this morning in a moment of vulnerability. I'm a Facebook stalker. I sometimes at night cannot sleep. Which night is that? Basically any night that ends in Y, I could stay up late and worry about things I cannot control. So I do the only thing I know how to do. I'll go on Facebook and look at everybody else's perfect life. So sometimes I'll look and I'll scroll and then I'll get going and I'll start looking at people I went to high school with. She ended up with him? Really? He ended up with her? Wow, there's a story there. And then sometimes I'll go to college and I'll start scrolling and stalking. If we want to make it sound better, I pray for people that I follow. Just going, wow, isn't that interesting? She ended up with him and he's doing that. Oh goodness, the Lord has a sense of humor on that one. As we lean into 1 Samuel chapter 25 this morning, we're going to be introduced to three people. The first one is Abigail. She is the beautiful, wise, intelligent woman of the story. There's going to be her husband. His name is Nabal, and he is the foolish one. He is the unintelligent one. He is the one that is everything Abigail is not. This whole idea of opposites attract, yep, that's pretty much this relationship. Everything she is, he is not, and everything he is, she is not, including being unintelligent and a fool. And then we have King David, the anointed king, that is on the run, and his one goal in life is to survive the assaults of Saul. And Saul, the king, knows that the kingdom has been torn from him, and his one mission in life is to kill the anointed king, David. So David is on the run. Let's go ahead and do a quick review. If you want to look at the red arrow, that is Jerusalem. That helps us to know where we are in Israel. The yellow arrow was Nob, where we were last week in 1 Samuel 21, where David lied to Ahimelech, and he ended up costing Ahimelech his life with 84, 85 of the other priests. Now David is on the run and he comes south. Chapter 24, he's in En-Gedi, and David has the opportunity to kill Saul as Saul goes to the cave to relieve himself. And David says, I will not raise my hand to God's anointed. So then he goes down from En-Gedi, and he goes to where the blue arrow is in Carmel and Maon. That's where he's going to be. David is on the run. All right, so let's go ahead, get your copy of God's Word, 1 Samuel 21. We're going to cover the first 38 verses, some of them in more detail than other. But let's go ahead, let's see what's going on in the life of David, Abigail, and Nabal. Are you with me this morning? Okay, good. Then Samuel died. David lost his mentor. David lost the man that was able to help him navigate this territory. He lost the fatherly figure to help him walk through this life spiritually. Samuel has died. And it just brings the challenge to me to be able to have someone speak truth into my life. To be able to have someone help me navigate this world and continue to walk close with the Lord. Do you have that person? Is there that person in your life that can speak truth, that can look at you and in love tell you the truth and hold you accountable? That was Samuel and David. Now Samuel has passed away. And all Israel gathered together, I'm in verse 1, and mourned for him. And they buried him at a house in Ramah, and David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. He has to keep moving. If he doesn't, Saul will find him and kill him. Verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon, all right, so I'm down here right in this blue area where the blue arrow is. There was a man who lived in Maon. Now this is... His name is Nabal. He had a business in Carmel or Carmel. I like me some caramel candy, by the way. Just saying. If we're going to talk about bread, and we'll get there eventually. Caramels are good. I'm just going to leave it there. There's a story sometime. I'll tell you about what my lovely wife did to me in a Carmelita bug. It's bad. All right, so you're wondering. We're dating. I don't have anything to get to, so you are the final service. We're dating, and she wants to put this Carmelita bug in my mouth. And what do you think I did? Yes, because she's beautiful. And I'm thinking there's this bug that's going to come into my mouth, and this is the woman that I'm loving. And she puts it into my mouth, and it is heavenly. So from now on, if you ever ask me to eat a Carmelita bug, I have that little left eye shutter. It's because she did that to me. She's a beautiful woman. So anyway, how did we get off on that? Oh, Carmel. That's right. We're in Carmel. And there was a very rich man, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. This is how he got his wealth. You just don't go buy this many sheep. You start with a few, and the herd multiplies. And he was a shepherd down in that territory. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. This is the time that he would raise his sheep, and then he would take them to be sheared. You take the wool, you'd cut that off, you'd sell that, you would take some of the lambs and you would eat them. He would sell that at market. This was the time that he would bring in all of the money. He would see fruit for all of the labor that he had done throughout the year. Verse 3. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. Now the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance. All right, so notice on the screen, we have three people with the verses that talk about them. Some of them have overlap, but Abigail is beautiful and she is intelligent. Nabal was harsh and evil in his dealings. Everything that Nabal was not, Abigail was, and vice versa. Scripture says he was a Calebite. David heard in verse 4 in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. That meant the money is there and David can visit Nabal. We'll tell you in a minute why. So David sent 10 young men. That tells us that David was expecting not just a little bit of finances, but he was expecting quite a gift for 10 men to send to Nabal. So David had an expectation of what he was going to get. And David said to the young men, go with this message. Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him, have a long life, Nabal. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. Now I have heard that your shearers, now your shepherds, have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days that they were in Carmel. Let's go back and make sure we understand what's going on. You see, David is on the run, and he has 600 men. I'll point that out in a couple verses in a few minutes. While he's running around here, David is a security officer. He is making sure that the area is safe from those that would be trying to steal or kill from the shepherds. Now, David was a good guy. He was making sure that these folks were safe. Now, David didn't ask for anything until it became shearing time, because the shepherds didn't have anything to give. So Nabal goes to Carmel and he hears, hey, it's time to gather in the sheep. Nabal has money. David goes to Nabal and says, hey, remember those favors I was doing to you? Remember for the security that I was around this area? Hey, could you help me out? I've got 600 guys and their families that are hungry. Can you help us out? So verse 8, ask your young men and they will tell you, Nabal, go get the testimony from the shepherds that are now in town with their sheep that have been out in the fields. Ask them just how nice we were. And they will tell you, therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, Nabal, for we have come on festive day. Please give whatever you find in your hand to your servants and also to the son of David. Hey, Nabal, when you go to the sheep, can you give us something? You don't have to give us all. Just give us something. We're hungry. We're tired. We need some money. Can you help us out for the things that we did for you in this area? All right, so that is the ask. Verse 9, when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all the words David said in David's name, and then they waited. They made the ask to Nabal, and then they stood there, that awkward silence. Do you ever have the ask and have the awkward silence? That will do. Just like that. And they waited. Verse 10, but Nabal answered. The answer, he says, is this. David's, who's David? Who is this guy? Who is the son of Jesse? Notice what Nabal did. He took from David, and when it was time to repay David, he looked at David and says, I don't know who you are. You ever have that happen? You ever loan someone money, time, effort? You help them move. You help them shovel. And then you needed help shoveling. And then they said, yeah, I don't know who you are. See you later. You ever have that happen? That's what's going on in the life of David. Nabal takes it even further in 10b. There are many servants today who are breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to men whose origins I do not know? Hey, you're just some guy that's on the run. I don't even know you. Get out of here. Get lost. How do you think that's going to go over with David after everything David did for Nabal? Verse 12. So David's young men retraced their way and went back. I wonder what that conversation was. Scripture doesn't say, but I wonder which guy had to say, I'm not telling David, you tell David. I'm not telling David. You ever have someone say, I've got good news and bad news, but I don't really have any good news, just bad news? That's what's going on in these verses. Somebody's got to tell David that Nabal is mean and a fool. So, verse 13, David gets the report. And look at what verse 13. David said to his men, each of you, gird on your sword. So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 men stayed with the baggage. That's where we got 600 men. David's response to Nabal, David goes and says, fine, if that's what you want, I'm going to come kill you. Now, this isn't like, I'm so angry, I'm going to kill you. This is David saying, get your sword, let's go. Nabal's getting wiped out. That's David's response. That is a response of the king that is anointed by God. He's quick-tempered and quick to respond. And I just want that to sink in. The one man that is going to be the king of Israel, his response when he is disrespected is to get his sword and kill you. And David is angry. Now you may say, that's tough. But you know, scripture tells us we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But how many of us, when we are insulted, we insult right back? We are quick with our tongue. And we may not get a real sword, but we use the words of our mouth to cut down other people. And how many of you have said something, and as you're saying that, you're trying to get the words that have already been said to pull them back into your mouth? And David is so angry. He's got veins in places that he's never had because they are so angry and they're pulsating. And he is not going to just sit on that. He is going to respond to that. He tells his boys, get ready, we're going for war. And we're going to go take care of this foolish man, Nabal. But this is a man after God's own heart. And yet, let this minister to you, friends. God can use broken people to accomplish his will. Acts chapter 16, verse 33. David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, David was not a perfect person. Verse 14. But one of the young men with Nabal's camp who heard this conversation said to Nabal's wife, Abigail, behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything, as long as they went about with us while we were in the fields. They were a wall to us around both day and night. All the time we were with them, we were tending sheep. Hey, Abigail, David and his guys, they were our protection. David is a good guy, and your husband, the fool, just went and picked a fight with the wrong guy. Verse 17, the man looks at Abigail and says, now we've got a problem. Now therefore, know and consider what you should do. Abigail, there's a problem. You need to come and fix it. There's the problem. Abigail, you be the peacemaker and come and fix it. Consider what you should do, for the evil is plotted against our master and against all of his household. And he is such a worthless man that nobody can speak to him. Look at what the servant says about Nabal. This guy, Abigail, he is so worthless. You might as well go talk to the wall because you might actually get somewhere. Is that you? Do people look at you and say, that person is so foolish? They are so stubborn. They are so dug in. You might as well go talk to the wall. I hope that, and in a moment of seriousness, I hope Holly doesn't think that about me. I hope she doesn't think that I'm foolish. But that's what the men think of Nabal, the men that are working for him. Verse 18. So Abigail hurried, and this is where it becomes kind of funny for a minute. Abigail hurried, and she took 200 loaves of bread. Another week of homemade bread. If you look in the message in the Hebrew, there's butter with it, by the way. You've got to look really deep. It's in there. Trust me. She makes 200 loaves of bread. I just thought, you know, do I call Walmart and go, I need 200 loaves of bread? This doesn't just happen. Look at the sacrifice that Abigail makes financially, materially, physically to make this bread. And this is done with a pretty quick haste because David's on the prowl. He's angry. He's coming to kill Nabal, the fool that Abigail has married. 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, which means they've already been sheared, slaughtered, and cooked. Leg of lamb's on the menu for tonight with my fresh bread with butter on it. Oh, let's just close in a word of prayer. I'm getting hungry. 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins. They can keep the raisins. And 200 cakes of figs. And she loaded them on donkeys. What's David after? His men are hungry. 600 men plus their families. Most commentators say about 2,000 people David has to feed. And they're hungry. And Abigail is looking to meet that need by verse 18. She said to her young men, go before me. Behold, I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Why? Because he's a fool. Because he just won't listen. Before he told David, I don't care what you want. Just leave me alone. So Abigail is working around her husband. Verse 20, it came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden parts of the mountain that behold, David and his men were coming down towards her. So she met with him. She's cutting him off at the pass. She has to get to David before David gets to Nabal. Because if David meets up with Nabal, there's not going to be any more Nabal. Because David is very, very angry. Now David said to her, surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness. What did I do all this work for? What did I put myself out there for this man, the fool of Nabal, if he's going to turn around and not pay me for my work? So that nothing was missed, and all that belonged to him has been returned to me evil for good. Now look at the oath David has made. Look at the anger, look at the wrath, look at the vengeance that David is pledging to Abigail. May God do so to the enemies of David and more, if by the morning I leave as much as one male of any who belong to Nabal. Sounds a whole lot like David's taking matters into his own hands. Did you see where David prayed to God and asked for wisdom? Did you see that in Scripture? You didn't see it because it's not there. And David is acting out of his flesh. David is acting out of his anger. David is acting out of taking matters into his own hands. And he's forgetting to practice Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And how often do we jump out in front of God and take matters into our own hands? And this is God's anointed king. The man after God's own heart. And he right now has the war paint on and he's got one mission. Kill Nabal and everybody else. So, Abigail, when she saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey, and she fell on her face before David, and she bowed herself to the ground. Look at the humility and the posture of repentance on behalf of her husband that Abigail is doing. She could have said, hey, Nabal is a fool. Go kill him. I'll show you where he is. Instead, Abigail says, hold on. There's wisdom here. There's an opportunity here to be a peacemaker. So she gets off her donkey. She bows her face low to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, on me alone, David, be the blame. David, it's my fault. When's the last time you took the blame for someone else's mistake? When's the last time someone made a mistake and said, yep, it's that guy right there, it's that girl right there. Would you like me to go with you to add it on? Notice Abigail says, blame me. It's all me. It's my fault. She says, please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Verse 25, please do not let my lord, which would be David, pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. Look at how Abigail is speaking about her own husband. Don't listen to this guy. He's a fool. How sad. How very sad for her to say that about her husband. But that's the type of man he is, according to verse 2 and 3. So don't pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for his name is, so he is. Nabal is his name and folly is him. Really? He's just foolish. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. David, it's my fault. I didn't see him coming. They went to the wrong person. Abigail has every opportunity to say, my husband is a fool. Kill him. Instead, she's interceding on his behalf. Now, therefore, my lord, as God lives, and as your soul lives, since God has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek evil against my husband be as Nabal. Hey, listen, you haven't done anything yet. Yeah, you've got your blood pressure up. Yes, you've probably said some things you probably shouldn't have said, but there hasn't been any blood shed. Look at what Abigail is doing. She's causing David to think. Why does David need somebody in his life to cause him to think? Because chapter 25, verse 1, Samuel's dead. There's nobody there to challenge David. So Abigail is taking the place of a peacemaker. So she says in verse 27, let this gift which your maidservant has brought. What gift is that? That's verse 18. All of this food, the loaves, the lamb, the grain, the raisins, the wine, all of it. This is the gift in verse 27, which your maidservant has brought to you, David, to be given to the young men who have accompanied you. David, what you're looking for, I have provided. Take it and walk away. Verse 28, please forgive the transgression of your maidservant. I'm sorry, who did wrong? Nabal did. Who's asking forgiveness? Abigail. She's the one that's speaking truth and being the intercessor, the one that's causing David to slow down and woe. Now listen to the wisdom of Abigail in verse 28. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord, or David, is fighting the battles of God. And the evil will not be found in you all of your days. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of the king shall be bound in the bundle of the living with God, with the Lord your God. But the lives of the enemies he will sling out from as far as the hollow of a sling. David, play the long game here. Slow down and think about this. But friends, when we're hurt, when we're offended, and someone says something mean about me, I don't think I just respond. Abigail gets a hold of David, gets in his way, and says, David, think of the long game here. You go and do this. You've taken vengeance into your own hands. You've responded in humanness. You've responded in your flesh. And in the long run, it's going to cost you because you are the anointed king. You do not behave this way. Notice the truth that Abigail is able to speak into David in the heat of the moment. Verse 31. This will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord because both by having shed blood without the cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord deals well with my Lord or the king, then remember your maidservant, David. David, you are God's anointed. Do not act this way. Do not take matters into your own hands. Let God take care of it. Sounds like Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. David, let God handle this. Don't let David handle this. How many of us need an Abigail in our life? When someone said something and we are just carving them up with our words or with our thoughts. Play the long game. Think about what you're doing. Verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be God. Why? Because he brought an Abigail. David has been able to slow down and think. How many of you, rhetorical question, how many of you wish you wouldn't have said what you said in the heat of the moment and just wish you would have taken a step and went, whew. Maybe you actually wouldn't have sent that text, you would have deleted it. Maybe you wouldn't have sent that email, you would have trashed it. But David looks at Abigail and says, certainly you are a blessing from the Lord. Because you caused me to slow down and woe during a time when I needed someone to tell me to woe. So blessed be the Lord in verse 32, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. God uses other people in tight and tough situations. Blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me from this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. God is not working through David. David is working through David because he's taking the place of God and avenging himself by his own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been any left to Nabal until the morning. Hey, Abigail, if you wouldn't have interceded, I would have killed him. And David's not speaking hyperbole like I was really angry. David is geared ready for battle. Sword ready, war paint on, 400 guys that are hungry and they're angry and they're following their leader. And David says, you know what? Thanks for stepping in. You saved me from making a really big mistake. Verse 35, so David received from her what he had brought. He went home and had freshly baked bread with butter on it with like a lamb. Sounds good right about now, doesn't it? Okay, we'll keep going then. If it doesn't sound good, we'll keep going. He said to her, go up to your house and in peace. See, I have listened to you and I have granted your request. David was not so bent on revenge, he wasn't willing or able to admit he's wrong. Are you willing to admit you're wrong? That's a swallowing of our pride. So verse 36, Abigail came to Nabal. She got David at the pass. David's off. He's happy. He's got his food. He's got his men happy. Everybody's happy. Crisis averted. Abigail turns, goes back to Nabal. She finds Nabal in verse 36, and behold, he was feasting. He has all this money. Of course he's going to feast because he's finally been able to eat high on the hog. or the lamb in this case. And Nabal's heart was merry with him, for he was very drunk. He was so drunk he couldn't be approached. So not only is he a fool by his own testimony and his own name and others' testimony, now he's a drunken fool. He's so drunk that you can't even talk to him, so she decided to wait until the morning light. Verse 37, but in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, really, once the hangover was over and his mind was clear, she then talked to him. Another challenge of, you got to know when to talk to people. You got to know when the right time is to tell them and have a hard conversation. She is very intelligent, very wise to know when and how to speak to her husband, who is the fool. Verse 37, she told him what David was going to do, and Nabal has a stroke. Some say a heart attack. Most commentators say he had some type of paralyzing stroke. Verse 38, he waited about 10 days, and then after 10 days, the Lord took and killed him. Who took and killed Nabal? God did. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Not by David's hand, but by God's hand. Three people, three different characteristics. Abigail is humble and she's wise. Nabal is foolish and he's selfish. David is vengeful and he's rash. Which one do you commiserate with the most? Which one is most like you? Now, well, I'm too humble to say I'm like Abigail. I know that. But there's opportunities we have to be peacemakers. And somebody needs to come in with a clear head and speak truth. Could that be you? Sometimes we get foolish. I won't say that about you, I'll say that about myself. Sometimes I act foolishly and I act selfishly. And I don't treat people the way that they should be treated. And that way I'm like Nabal. And sometimes I'm like David. I think second and I speak first. And I use my words to cut up people. And I don't allow God to take vengeance. I allow God to use me and my words to take vengeance because God does not work fast enough. And I see myself in a lot of David. And I see David in a lot of me, where I'm vengeful and I don't always think first. But yet, isn't it comforting to know that God can use broken people? A man after God's own heart. The last 2 weeks, he's lied. And now, David, he's got a temper. But God still uses broken people. What a great encouragement and a great challenge to be living in a world of a David and a Nabal, that we can be Abigail. Because we are men and women after God's own heart. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. This morning I want to do something different and pray for you differently. I want to ask, is there anybody here this morning I can pray for that you find yourself in a situation where you need to be an Abigail? There's a situation, whether it's in your home or your work, your neighborhood, that there's a peacemaker that's needed. And you have been challenged this morning to be that Abigail. Would you slip your hand up? I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to call you out by name. I just want to pray for you. That you be able to be an Abigail in a situation to speak truth. Is there anybody here swearing to pray for? See that hand. Two hands. Thank you. Three. Thank you. Four. I got that hand. Is there anybody here this morning that says, would you pray for me? Because I want to ask, be careful I ask this. Either you are like Nabal, or you're dealing with someone like is Nabal, or you're living with a Nabal. And you have this person that is foolish and selfish, and you need wisdom and guidance in how to approach them. Would you slip your hand up? I pray for you this morning. See that one hand. Thank you, two. Yep. Three. Is there anybody here who says, would you pray for me? Because I see a lot of David in myself. I'm vengeful, I'm rash, or I work with someone that is vengeful and rash, or I live with someone that is vengeful and rash. Would you pray for me as I interact with them that I could help them, that I could point out that truth delicately, that I could be an Abigail and speak truth to the David in my life? Is there anybody here? See that hand, thank you. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. Lord, we love this story of David. I love this story of David. And Lord, I want to make myself out that I am like Abigail. I'm always wise, I'm always humble, and I know just what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. But Lord, that's sometimes not me. But I pray that you would be with us as those that have indicated that they have an opportunity to be an Abigail in a situation. I pray, God, that you might give them wisdom and guidance that comes from you with whatever situation they are in. Lord, for those that are working with a Nabal, or maybe they're saying, I am Nabal. I am foolish. I pray, Lord, that you might work in their hearts, that you might soften their hearts, and Lord, most of all, that you may turn their hearts towards you. And Lord, for those that are working with a David, or those that might say, I am David, they're vengeful, they're rash, they're quick to speak, they're slow to think, and they're quick to become angry. Lord, I pray that you might help them to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And Lord, that when that is pointed out, they might be like David and humble themselves and repent. So Lord, be with those, that you'd help us to be Abigails in a world full of Nabals and Davids. Lord, continue to work in us and through us for your glory and your honor. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.